October 27th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series brought to you by Civic Media in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 540 AM, and it's 100.3 FM for those of you mostly in Waukesha. And I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in our beloved Banting Park home. And I am joined, as always, by my faithful producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who's working from the comfort of his home in the Cream City near the campus of MATC, where he has just finished his degree in broadcasting. Right, Max? Did I get that right? Anyway, before I introduce tonight's guest, which I'm really excited to have, my last couple podcasts, and apologies for the delay on last week's, was obviously not what you'd call slow news week politically in the city of Waukesha with the events surrounding 15th District Alderman Rico Camacho's boy who called ice routine that actually I shouldn't make fun of it because it turned out he was misinformed, but more importantly, it appears that it had cost him his position on the faculty at Catholic Memorial High School. And we've seen reports later in the week that many CMH alumni, including a prominent attorney named Tony Cotton, have stood up for him and have withdrawn their regular donations to CMH in protest. So, an interesting story that we'll continue to follow, and not one that we're really excited about because of again how it all went down and. Maybe kind of a rush to judgment. And for my guest benefit, there was rumors of ICE being in downtown Waukesha undercover, and an alderman had taken an initiative to report it on social media and warn people. And it caused a great deal of panic, and some businesses even closed their doors, and you can't make insurance claims for that. So they basically lost money, and it's put a big spotlight on the city of Waukesha. And which is, we're proud of our diversity here and that people, that we live in a diverse community and people can find opportunities here. And so that's been that and, a lot of coverage on the mayoral campaign that finally has competition with the entrance of Council President Alicia Halbenslaven taking on State Assemblyman Scott Allen for the top seat in the city of Waukesha that will be vacated by Mayor Sean Riley after three terms next April. And so a lot of discussions as well as some Halloween happenings and other events. We had a No Kings March in downtown Waukesha that was very well attended. We some estimates of more than like 3,000 people while protests were going on around the area and around the country. And even a tombstone trot at our historic Prairie View Cemetery. So lots to talk about, but one thing that kind of centers us in the midst of a lot of unfortunate political discussions and a political climate nationally that's just become very not only polarizing, but even to the point where neighbors are in a really hateful way towards other neighbors. It's really become a really unfortunate situation. But one thing that does bind us all together is local teams and supporting the sports that we love most. I just came from a wonderful weekend of softball. My daughter's team won the championship, the Chilloween Invitational down in Chatham, Illinois, near Springfield. And of course, we're on game three of the World Series. And even though our beloved Brewers didn't make it to the promised land, still a great season to celebrate. And we're still celebrating because one of Wisconsin's sons is playing for the Blue Jays and had a home run in the first game of the World Series. So anyway, to talk about this is a new friend that I've made from one of my new engagements with Junior Achievement of Wisconsin, who he works in marketing and graphic design. Let me know if I'm missing anything here. And also for many years has been a freelance, or he's been a baseball writer, college baseball writer. And you can find his work on d1baseball.com. That's D as in Don, the number one, baseball.com. And so it's my honor to introduce Patrick Ebert to tonight's show. Patrick, how are you?
Doing great, Don. Great to be here. And I think you'll soon find out that you give me an opportunity to talk about baseball. It's an opportunity I quickly grasp and always have a blast doing it. So thank you for having me.
Sounds great. Well, I look forward to a very, lengthy discussion. So Patrick lives in Brookfield, grew up in Waukesha County, started his high school career at Brookfield Central before moving to Arrowhead, and then got 2 degrees from UW-Milwaukee. And I think, as you mentioned before the show, you spent 3 years in Iowa for your baseball career. Is that fair to say, your baseball writing career?
That's correct. Yep.
So what got you interested in baseball writing?
Yeah, that's the baseball writing part of it. You know, that kind of spurred probably right around the turn of the millennium. I got involved with a group of guys that we started a website called brewerfan.net. And, you know, if you've been following the Brewers long enough, like I have, you know that, you know, there were some pretty lean years, especially, you know, like that 1992 season that they had, where they came like this close, you know, from making the playoffs. And back then, only what, 4 teams made it into the playoffs. So it was really hard to make the postseason. But anyway, when I got to be an adult and doing more stuff, and my passion fell into the player development side of things. And I started becoming more and more fascinating with scouting and the draft. And I started watching a lot of college baseball. And I always noticed, just from talking to people, that I watched the game differently than most people did, you know. And like, and from a young age, I mean, I was watching and be like, oh, that was a good curveball. Or like, oh, did you see that changeup? And, you know, if you watch them with someone that doesn't have that trained eye, they'd be like, what are you talking about? How can you tell? Right. Like, and it's just like, I was always keyed in on those things. And that just kind of continued to grow and blossom the more I followed it. And to be honest, I really didn't get into writing until, you know, this website came along, and it was just a way to express myself and use it as a platform. And sure, that eventually led to a career in baseball. So, and then the more I've been in that career, the more I've written. And I went from kind of more of like a management editorial role to more of a, now where I'm doing mainly features and stuff on teams and players in college baseball. It really didn't start from any one place. It's just kind of like a lifelong journey, I think, that so many of us go through. And if you're a sport fan, you know, like, I think we all have that, you know, like, and just like the games themselves do. So, yeah. And it all started, of course, with the Brewers. I moved to Wisconsin in 1979. And I remember going to a Brewer game with my family for my dad's work. And I remember the fans at County Stadium, you know, screaming out Coop when Cecil Cooper came to the plate. And I didn't understand.
Those aren't booze here.
Yeah, those aren't booze. And that's exactly what it was. He instantly became my favorite player, and baseball instantly became a passion. And that's really the root of it.
That's neat. So you moved away to Wisconsin. You're not you're a transplant like myself.
Yeah. Yes and no. My mom was from Milwaukee.
Okay.
So like, but I was born in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And I know you mentioned like the Sunny schools, the SUNNY schools. And I was born in Erie, and I always remember hearing about Sunny Buffalo and like those places. And so I am kind of familiar with that, but I moved much too early in life to be
sure.
embedded. I mean, back then it was Penn State and nothing else.
Yeah.
Like Penn State, like wrestling, football, like all that stuff. That stuff was huge. But then, I moved to Wisconsin at a young age. But even I remember being young that we always kind of considered ourselves Wisconsinites, you know, seemingly before we even got here.
Yeah. So always Packers fans.
That's right. Yeah. We were Packer and Brewer fan. We knew that before we moved here.
Oh, very cool. So did you play baseball at all as a kid, like youth baseball, little league or anything like that? Or
high school? Yeah. Yep. I started with the Cub Scouts, and that was softball, and then hardball. And then I played baseball in high school, only for a year though.
Okay.
But I was more, I did other sports like track and field. I played hockey. So I played a few different sports along the way. I always joke that I write about baseball because I could not throw or hit 80 mile per hour fastball. So that ended my playing career pretty fast.
Sure. That'll do it. That's neat. Yeah, it sounds like we had similar careers. I got to play 1 year of high school. I played JV, and I wasn't planning, like, I didn't go out for as a freshman, but I had a great, in my last year of Little League, what we called Babe Ruth ball or senior league, I had a great year. I was cross training. I was working out for football. I was trying to get bigger and stronger. And what that did is that it helped my play in baseball. I could throw the ball a lot better and I don't want to say it improved my speed, but I guess you could say it improved my hustle and certainly helped with the batting too. You know, I was able to hit more balls that could leave the field. And my last year of organized youth ball, I made the All-Stars and our team won the championship. So it gave me the confidence to go out for JV and make the team. And after that, I went out for my best sport was long distance running. So I was convinced to I got cut from football junior year, and then the cross country team coach had known that I won my age group in a scholarship run that summer, a 5K, and found myself starting as a junior in cross country, and then he bullied me into going out for track, and I ran 1 and 2 mile, and actually really enjoyed that. And that was only because our baseball team was they were on track to go to state, go pretty far that year. It was a really amazing team, and had at least one future MLB player. Dave Hollins ended up playing for the Philadelphia Phillies. So, it was funny as a kid. I was always really passionate about it. When you live in a hometown that doesn't have a home team, you gravitate towards the team that's always on the game of the week. And for me in the mid 70s, that was the Big Red Machine. And so I can tell you every starter on that team, the Great Eight, I think they call them, or Hateful Eight if you weren't a Reds fan. And
I think I could name probably those guys too. That team was pretty well known. Yeah.
We'll start with the easy stuff. Catcher.
Oh, Johnny Bench.
First base.
Don't tell me it's his son does TV for ESPN, Tony Perez.
There you go. Second base, probably the greatest second baseman of all time.
Yeah, Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan. Shortstop.
David Concepcion.
Yep. And third base during those two World Series years. We'll focus, make that easier for you.
Was Pete Rose at third, or was he in left field then?
Rose was third base. Okay. He started out in the outfield in his earlier years.
Yep.
So my favorite player, probably. And then left field.
Was that Griffey?
Ken Griffey Sr. was right field.
Okay. George Foster left?
George Foster was left. Yep. Good job. And then center field.
This is the one that might stump me.
You might have kind of a pick of two.
I should know this, but I'm going to. What's that?
I will give you a moment to think about it here.
I should know this, right?
He's probably the least known of that starting lineup.
I'll jump ahead a decade and say Eric Davis.
No, but I loved Eric Davis too.
The first 30-50 player, I think. So
yeah. Yeah. Cesar Geronimo.
Oh, Cesar Geronimo, yeah.
And he was preceded, I think, Paul Blair split part of that 75 season, that season when they won, they beat the Red Sox in 7 games. Probably arguably the greatest World Series. And that was really a fun team. And as I got older, I kind of, lost track with baseball. I mean, I always stay, I grew up in a Tigers family, so the Tigers were my American League team for a long time.
Sure.
And so,
who's your favorite Tigers player?
So my nickname growing up in Buffalo was Gates, because my last name was Brown, and Gates Brown was a Tigers outfielder, right fielder, played first base, was more of a pinch hitter. He's considered one of the greatest pinch hitters in baseball history. The Tigers recruited Gates Brown from jail. He made his baseball presence known at Jackson State Penitentiary, I think it was, and that's where it might have been Billy Martin that recruited him when he was managing the Tigers, or maybe one of his predecessors. But Gates Brown went on in retirement to become the batting instructor for that 84 World Series team that certainly had a lot of great hitters. Yeah. So because
he's out of major league, that's funny.
Oh yeah. Well, there was another guy who came along and they made a movie for television about him. He was a great base stealer and an outfielder named Ron LaFleur. And same thing. He got in some trouble, did a great article in Sports Illustrated about all the thievery he did in his youth, and how he kind of reformed himself. And he enjoyed a few years in the pros with the Tigers and the White Sox, but was a local Detroit kid. And Gates Brown kind of cleared the way for Ron LaFleur, was kind of the precedent setter in terms of the Correctional Institute being a recruiting ground for Major League Baseball.
Right.
So that, I think only the Detroit Tigers took advantage of. But no, I love, there's so many, like Lou Whitaker, I think, is another guy I'd have to, was very partial to. I went to Michigan State, so I, you know, I had to love Kirk Gibson.
But
that's a really tough, I don't think I really had a favorite, but I certainly, you know, it's great, you know, and I had an excuse to gravitate towards them because Sparky Anderson came from the Reds to lead the Tigers of the promised land. So gotta love Sparky. So
that's natural bridge, yeah.
But I, you know, it's funny, I couldn't tell you much about who the big stars are now, what their stats are, or what I couldn't even tell you most of the players out in the World Series today, or even some of the Brewers. But when my kids started playing baseball and softball, like, that's when I remembered how much I love the sport and kind of fell back in love with it again. And so that's why I really admire the work that you do as a baseball writer and covering it's D1 baseball and softball. In my opinion, you know, let me know if you believe this to be true since you're closer to the action, but those sports, what I call rounders, has really grown in prominence, the collegiate, you know, baseball and softball. I mean, I guess baseball's always had a strong following, but softball really has emerged as a, you know, big revenue sport and a great fan experience too. So would you say it's baseball's become more popular than it's ever been for college?
Oh yeah, I definitely think so. And too, if like I do get the opportunity to travel, and like down south, it's night and day difference. You know, it's really a shame that here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, we don't, our flagship university, University of Wisconsin in Madison, you know, doesn't even have a Division I program. And they haven't since 1991. And that's a shame. And there's zero plan to bring that back. Yeah. And, they claim, the financial component and Title IX or whatever, that you got to keep it balanced with the women's sports and all that stuff.
Sure.
But if they really wanted to, they could bring that back and that wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, the popularity, you go down south, these fans down south are absolutely crazy, and SEC and ACC communities where college baseball is the hottest ticket in town. Sure. You go like Mississippi State or LSU or Arkansas. I've covered super regional and regional, like the college baseball postseason in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the past couple of years, and it is insane, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of. It's a lot of fun to be a part of those press conferences, to be in the press box, to be out in the field in the stadium, and when you see it like up close and personal like that, like it makes a big difference, and you wish it would be like that around here, and I think it is. Yeah. From like travel ball, you know, you're used to softball with your daughter and stuff, and but that's that part of it I think is strong here in the Midwest. The college game though is not as strong.
No, and it'd be great to see that come along. And they say only 2% of all D1 softball players, college softball, come from Wisconsin, and I think Wisconsin. Like one of our dads who's Wisconsin, one of our softball dads was complaining because there used to be, when Alvarez came, he put a big wall around Wisconsin and no other college could recruit. And it seems like you could do that for softball and have a pretty competitive team. So Max has given me kind of the stink eye or the 1 minute warning here. So we're going to wrap up this first segment, but Patrick has agreed to join us for the second one, because we got a lot of baseball to talk about here. As we are in the time of the World Series, and some great Halloween costume ideas come from baseball. But I want to thank everybody for listening so far, and please stick around for part two of This Week in Waukesha with me, your host, Don Brown, and my guest, Division I baseball writer from D1baseball.com, Patrick Ebert. So stick around for more.